Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon. This week, we'll hear about a hormone that seems to ease marital strife and why being poor can lead to being overweight. But first, the World Cup finals are this weekend, and even if you aren't a soccer fan, you probably know that around the world, passions for the game run high, sometimes too high. Reporter Chelsea Wald has this story about scientists who are helping to keep things from getting out of hand.
If you love soccer, you might recognize this as the anthem of Liverpool in England. And of course, no one would want to stop these fans from singing it, except maybe their rivals. But sometimes fans of soccer and other sports start offensive chants. That's why acoustician Sander van Weingarten and his team at TNO in the Netherlands have been doing lab experiments on a new way to suppress chants in stadiums. They play the chant back to the chanters, but delayed. In a stadium, it would sound like this.
And what we studied, whether it was indeed possible to confuse somebody that way. And it turned out that it was possible. It is possible.
But while possible, van Weingarten says making the technique practical for use in large stadiums will require more work.
Thanks, Chelsea. In the near future, jet fuel could be derived mostly from coal. It may sound very 19th century, but Penn State University fuel scientist Harold Schobert says airline pilots won't have to stoke a furnace.
Actually, we are developing two processes, both of which would be able to make coal-based fuels in existing oil refineries with just minor modification to the refinery.
One mixes a coal byproduct with the petroleum, while another adds solid coal and then separates out the liquid fuel. Schobert says these hybrid fuels perform much like current military and commercial jet fuels with comparable emissions. More importantly, they could be made almost immediately in existing refineries, which could buy time until renewable energy sources become commercially viable. Well, we're in the midst of wedding season, and almost every newlywed couple is enveloped in postnuptial bliss. But even the best marriages will be fraught with some tension from time to time. Reporter Justin Warner tells us about a hormone that may take the edge off these squabbles.
The hormone oxytocin is involved in many aspects of love, sex, and emotional bonding, from physical processes like orgasm and childbirth to complex behaviors like monogamy and parental nurturing. Now, new research suggests that a whiff of oxytocin may even soften domestic spats. At the University of Zurich in Switzerland, Beata Ditson and her colleagues monitored the stress hormone cortisol in couples discussing unresolved conflicts. Curiously, the discussions didn't increase cortisol levels across the board. However, couples who snorted an oxytocin nasal spray beforehand actually showed significant decreases in cortisol after they spoke. Ditson says that these couples also talked more openly about their feelings.
And this self-disclosure is in itself, it's neutral, so it's not only happy emotions, but I interpret that as very positive, that oxytocin made them overcome their avoidance of this self-disclosure during a conflict.
Despite how all this may sound, Ditson's team isn't trying to develop a nasal spray to alleviate marital strife. The spray was just a convenient way to deliver a known dose of oxytocin.
Because there's no marker for oxytocin to measure it in PET scans, for example, so far. And like this, we only can clearly measure the effect of oxytocin when we administer it.
She says if further studies show that oxytocin is in fact beneficial for a relationship, the next step will be to find everyday things that couples can do to keep it flowing.
Thanks, Justin. In many societies, being overweight is a sign of affluence. But in Western countries, it's more common for poor people to be overweight and have diabetes. Why? Well, researchers at Ohio University say people who live in so-called food-insecure households often rely on inexpensive, high-fat foods and are also more likely to fast and then binge. That primes the body to store fat. Also, some research shows that when children are malnourished, they develop slower metabolism. In other public health news, researchers are testing a vaccine to prevent smoking. It works by priming the body's immune system to recognize the nicotine molecule as an enemy. Antibodies bind to the molecule, making it too large to enter the brain. If cigarette smoking doesn't lead to a pleasurable nicotine high, smokers may find it easier to quit. Finally, you may have heard that birds are the living descendants of dinosaurs. That's true, but they didn't evolve only after dinosaurs went extinct. Some of them were around to see T-Rex and Stegosaurus. Chelsea Wall tells us about what these early birds were like.
All modern birds, from robins to owls to ostriches, may have evolved from duck-like ancestors. An international team of paleontologists working in China recently discovered 5 new fossils of a 100-million-year-old ancestor of modern birds called Gansis humanensis. Jerry Harris of Dixie State College in Utah says it probably looked and acted like today's loons and grebes.
It has several similar features in its skeleton that show that it had a similar lifestyle of diving underwater and swimming, and it also had webbed feet. And some of our specimens had the skin preserve show that it had webbing all the way down to the ends of its toes. So we know it was a water-based bird. And when you put the skin and feathers and everything back on it, you'd probably have a hard time telling the difference between it and a loon or a grebe, especially from a distance like you mostly see them in a lake today.
He says Gansis is probably not a direct ancestor of modern birds, more like a super great granduncle. He adds that it may have been a tasty dish for dinosaurs.
Next week, we'll answer a listener's question about where dinosaurs came from, so tune in if you'd like to hear the answer. And if you have a science question, remember to call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT or submit it on our website, www.scienceupdate.com. If we use it in the podcast, you will win a valuable, one-of-a-kind Science Update mug. And don't forget, if you like listening to the Science Update podcast, consider nominating it for a People's Choice Award in the Technology and Science category by going to www.podcastawards.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.